Sarah Thiemann, are you there? Hello.
I am, John. How are you?
Well, you sound just like you're calling for Naperville. You are calling from where?
I am calling from Caversham, which is a village about a 20-minute walk away from Reading in west London, or west of London in England.
Sarah Thiemann was a longtime employee here and also a book reader, and we always loved her recommendations. And though she has moved away, she said, I'll still help you guys out. So the book club continues. And Bob, you've been reading, and Steve,
sure
you've
have.
Been reading. I have too, but I was away, and I did not participate in this month's book club, but I want everybody else to chime in. So, Sarah, thanks for joining us again. The WGN Radio Book Club is on the air. What's your first recommendation this month, Sarah?
Okay, so my favorite, Richard Osman, is back with the latest installment of his Thursday Murder Club series. So if you have not followed this, the adventures of Elizabeth Joyce, Ibrahim, and Ron, I really encourage you to start with book one, because that book one is where it all started and I think is the best. But he's taking a break, flip-flopping between a new series he started last year and the Thursday Murder Club series. So it's really great to reunite with those folks. They turned book one into a show on, I think it aired on Netflix. So if you want to watch the movie of it, come to life with your favorite characters. But our foursome is back. You know, they all live in a older age retirement home. And not without their personal struggles. This book also highlights, brings more into the action, Joyce's daughter, Joanna. So that was nice to see, because this book starts off with her wedding to a man named Paul, and Elizabeth, who meets a wedding guest, and something becomes afoot with that wedding guest. And that is sort of unravels the plot of the book. So, you know, with all of these Thursday Murder Club series books, there's always a little bit of poignancy. This one also, besides kind of featuring Joanna, Joyce's daughter, also brings the character of Ron and his family more into the spotlight. And, oh boy, I just, you know, every book I worry about our little foursome. You know, no one's getting any younger, but it's a delightful, delightful read.
The Thursday Murder Club series, The Impossible Fortune by Richard Osman. Steve, you, I chuckled when I saw the book you read, because it's a lot of work, and you've heard us all talk about it. And I don't know if we talked about it so much you didn't want to read it, but what did you read?
No, I read it because of the rave reviews, I would think we call them that, of Cher, the memoir, part one.
Yeah. And?
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to what you and Sarah, and I think, did Bob read it too? I don't know.
I did not.
But, yeah, it's every few pages, it's another, wow, what a weird life she led. That's what John said in his review of it. And Sarah said, wow, what a life Cher has led.
Did you find yourself knowing that Sonny was going to come into the picture, and then knowing what was going to happen to Sonny, and as you were watching Cher endure the what became oppressive life that she had under Sonny, that that karma's a bitch, you know, that bad things are going to happen to him, unrelated, I'm sure, in the cosmic scheme of things, but you knew that Sonny was going to have a tragic end, and that kind of weighed over the reading of what was happening, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but so I won't. But I will also say I read a book that both of you, I think, recommended. That was A Marriage at Sea. And what a fantastic story. True story of a couple that got stranded at sea when a whale broke their boat in half, their sailboat in half. Incredible.
Bob read that. Sarah read that. And as I recall, the reviews of that were, it was interesting not so much for how they survive at sea, but how they survived as a couple. It's about their life together, right?
Yeah.
And was she the one that was sort of the hero of the story? She yes. seemed to have more courage and stamina.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she would have survived without him. He would not have survived without her.
Yeah. So A Marriage at Sea, and were you recommending that too, Steve?
Yes, absolutely.
Sarah, you and Bob are as well, right?
Yeah, I didn't read that one, but I want to.
Yeah, I hadn't read that one either, and it's funny because that's why I love how like cyclical this is, because I think, John, you read it. I thought Bob had read it, but now I know Steve had read it. And so I've subsequently tracked down my own copy. I'm holding for it at the library, although it has a different title here, because you know how sometimes these Brits like to change titles of books. So it's got a different title, but I'm holding for it at the library. So
Marriage at Sea.
I have to read it.
Sophie Elmhurst, A Marriage at Sea. What's on the top of your nightstand there, Bob Kessler?
This one, The Doorman. So it's fiction. It's about an apartment building in Manhattan and just how different the lives are. There are some people who work there, the doorman. He's the main character. But then the almost oligarch type wealth that lives there and the differences of their lives and how they impact and how they overlap. It was a really, really great illustration of just how there's this hierarchy in our society and how we can all occupy similar spaces but live very, very, very different lives.
Wow.
That was really good. The Doorman by Chris Pavone.
So it's the story of that doorman then?
The doorman and then some other people who live in the building.
Huh. And what era is that set?
It's set now. Yeah, very much there's unrest like we saw in, say, 2020, that kind of unrest. There's arms dealing. There's all kinds of stuff.
Did you read Gentlemen in Moscow, Bob?
No.
Sarah, you read that, right?
Great book. Yes, I love that book. That's my favorite book by Amor Tolles.
I don't know if there's any overlap between the two, but obviously it's a guy who's living in confinement in a hotel, and it's about his life and other people's lives. But Bob is recommending The Doorman by Chris
really good,
Pavone.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to you, Sarah. What's another recommendation?
So in the spirit of writer Alif Shafak, who I saw speak at Henley Literary Festival earlier this month, who told us all to read everything and everything and be keep your mind curious and be open to what's out there, here's a nonfiction title called Careless People, A Cautionary Tale of Power, Greed, and Lost Idealism by Sarah Wynne Williams. So this is sort of a kind of gets into the inner workings at Facebook. So she was actually working for a New Zealand diplomat and sort of in international relations, and she pitched her dream job to Facebook. Her family was still living in New Zealand when the earthquake happened there. I think it was 2012 might have been. And she saw how people were utilizing Facebook to check in and, say, hey, I'm okay, and trying to, reunite people with one another. And she really believed that this platform was, going to be a global mover and shaker, which, we sort of know that's, how it's kind of shaken out to be. So she pitched her dream job of leading their global public policy. And it's sort of all about the careless people that she worked with, from Mark Zuckerberg to Sheryl Sandberg to, everyone involved with that organization. If you're a Facebook user, I think it's a very eye-opening and popping read. It's probably, all things we've sort of heard about before in the news, but, coming to light and packaged in one parcel from a woman who saw all the inner workings with the way her role was. If anything prompts you to read it, know that Meta, Facebook, now Meta, has tried to block Sarah Wynne Williams from promoting and, speaking about the book. So, if that tells you anything, it's going to be a bit juicy.
That's such a heavy hand. Haven't we learned that if you try and ban something, it only increases people's interest in it? And there is Meta. There is Zuckerberg falling prey to the very same trap that we all know is too easily set. You wrote, it is careless people with too much money. That's the culture at Facebook?
Yeah. Too much money, power, and this whim. Like, you know, I have sometimes these very, very smart, techie type people almost have some sort of like a kindergarten-y type of mind and feel like, well, we can just play with people's lives. And it's affecting real consequences. She talks about how it, you know, incited genocide in Myanmar, how it, you know, changed elections. And she gets into the whole, 2016 election in the United States and how they embedded people and, you know, the Trump campaign then to, you know, buy ads. So I think we need to understand what sort of, if you're engaging in those, in social media platforms, I think we have to be enlightened users of those platforms and understand, like, you know, that these people are sort of all like playing with us like pawns on a chessboard, but it's, you know, our life that is going to be affected by this.
You know, Sarah, you're making me think of a book that my wife just finished, and it's fiction, but it's, and there's very interesting characters, but it's about AI and technology and how it's impacting our lives. There were times where you laughed. There were times where you gasped. Let me give you the title of that book, and let's let you guys respond to this, too. 773 said, I'm amazed at how much y'all read. When do you do it? And what are you cutting out to make the time? I would like to read more, but between work and keeping up with the news and shuffling the kids and the chores, I find I don't have the time anymore. Help! Exclamation point. Okay, what we would say to that and this recommendation from my house, the book Brenda just finished. Sarah Tiemann is the... What's the new title for you, Sarah? What are we going to call you here?
Dave Marzullo wrote, I'm Promotions and PR Manager Emeritus and Station Book Club International Correspondent.
Attaboy, Dave. Well done. Well done. Hey, John Williams. First of all, I want to get to the book that Brenda read, and maybe you have read it too. The book is called Culpability. It's Oprah's book club selection. It's a novel. The reading of it is fantastic, and it's a page-turner, fascinating and very contemporary about how AI is impacting our lives. But it's a novel, and the book is called Culpability. And if you are looking for a piece of contemporary fiction, that's one recommendation here. John, I'm always amazed at how much y'all read. How do you find time? I think that if you do have free time and you're not listening to WGN, listening to books is a good way to get through some of them. Is that what you're doing, Sarah?
Audiobooks. I love audiobooks, especially if you have, like, you know, a road trip is great for that, or, you know, a commute to work. Obviously, always put on WGN radio first, but, you know, that's something to consider, where, you know, where you have time. Mostly for me, it's reading, either on Kindle. I stockpile from the library and then don't sync, or going to source books from the library.
Here's another
tip.
Now
it's a little bit trickier for me, but those are my two ways of, you know, tracking things down. But mostly it's reading.
Take the TV out of the bedroom. Take the TV out of the bedroom. Hey, John Williams, what's the name of that book again about Facebook that Sarah was recommending, Sarah?
Careless People, A Cautionary Tale of Power, Greed, and Lost Idealism. It just came out earlier this year. So
Careless
Sarah Wynne Williams.
People. All right, back to you, Steve Alexander. Any other recommendation you want to throw in the hopper here?
Yeah, let me give a thumbs up to Bob's recommendation about The Doorman by Chris Pavone. I read that, liked it a lot, too. So I missed out on this 5 years ago, but Michael J. Fox did a memoir, one of his, I think, three, maybe four now, No Time Like the Future, An Optimist Considers Mortality. It's all about the many medical problems that he's had and his attitude, which is just unfailingly making lemonade out of lemons type of thing, except there are a few times that in this book where he's really challenged by that, and he considers, as he put it, getting out of the lemonade business. Wonderful book, and it's very funny. He's so clever, so quick-witted, And I liked it a lot. And as I wrote in the review on our website, I was as fond of and impressed by Michael J. Fox as I was before. I was even more so after finishing the book.
Previously, he wrote Lucky Man, Always Looking Up, and now Steve likes No Time Like the Future. An optimist considers mortality. Bob, you going to throw one in before we wrap this
up?
Yeah,
Via Appia, which was by Giovanni Martins. It's set in a favela, a slum in Rio, and it's really about how hard life is amidst all that poverty. And the characters are really interesting and really likable, but also really flawed. And it follows that of family life for about four or five different people. And it just was a real eye-opener of what life is like for a lot of people in the world.
You also, though, wrote that it demonstrated community support, deep friendships, romantic and parental love, and how they endure amidst the hardships.
It was excellent.
Nice. Via Appia, A-P-I-A, Via Appia. Sarah, I got time for one more quick one from you.
Well, I know you're coming up a week or two away from talking with Mr. Thomas Jefferson. So this is a graphic edition of Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny, but this is On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. I loved this book so much and thought it was so important that I own a hardback copy. This version is illustrated by Nora Krug. Just to read something from the prologue, history does not repeat, but it does instruct. History can familiarize and it can warn. We might be tempted to think that our democratic heritage automatically protects us from such threats. This is a misguided reflex. In fact, the precedent set by the founders demands that we examine history to understand the deep sources of tyranny and to understand and to consider the proper responses to it. It goes on, but gives you 20 kind of food for thought nuggets illustrated by Nora Krug, who is a phenomenal illustrator and artist. She also wrote a book that I'd highly recommend in 2018, Belonging, A German Reckons with History and Home. I also own a copy of that book. It's beautiful. So I think there's a lot of good food for thought. And I've read the more intense of Timothy Snyder's novella about On Tyranny, but if you want, you know, kind of a gentle easing into it, the graphic edition is really great.
One more time, that book that my wife just finished, thank you, Sue Cox, is called Culpability. It's a novel. And this listener said, if you're looking for book recommendations, I recommend The Girl in the Green Sweater, a true story about a Holocaust survivor who's still alive. She and her family lived in a sewer for 14 months. Okay, if you missed any of these recommendations or you want to maybe have a refresher, we always post this conversation as a podcast at WGNradio.com on the John Williams page after the show. Sarah in England, thank you for helping us out. Give us your fancy title again, Sarah.
Give us your my best what? I'm sorry?
Your fancy title.
Oh, my fancy title? According to Dave Marzullo, but, you know, this is open for discussion, promotions and public relations manager emeritus and Station Book Club international correspondent.
I think that's
which
about...
I did apply for a publisher role. So, you know, maybe, and in my cover letter, I wrote that working with books would be akin to winning the lottery for me. So this is a great passion for me, and I'm excited that we continue to have these conversations and bring books to all of our listeners and have this wonderful exchange of ideas every month.
Stay well, and our best to your husband, John, over on the other side of the pond, Sarah.
Bye, Sarah.